Our speaker this morning is no stranger to us. Reverend Darrell Fletcher comes to us from Southwest Virginia. He was born in Nicholsville. He worked in industry a number of years in Kingsport, but he got back to Virginia as quickly as he could. He has worked as a farmer, pastored three churches, and he and his wife, Jeanette, are former North American Mission Board missionaries through the Southern Baptist Convention. He is presently the field strategist with the Virginia Baptist Mission Board. And Darrell, we're so happy to have you, and you come now.
Thank you. It's good to be with you today. Trust and hope you've had a good morning. Sometimes it's just good to be anywhere, especially if you're running 81 north on Sunday. Last week I was on 81 and I got to watch a lot of traffic and a lot of scenery for about 2.5 hours because I really wasn't going anywhere. I was sitting and waiting to move up 10 feet at a time. Sometimes it works that way. Great to be with you today. Bring you greetings from the Virginia Baptist Mission Board and Dr. John Upton, our Executive Director, and want to extend unto you a hearty, hearty welcome with hopes that you'll come and be at our annual meeting, which is coming up November 11 and 12 in Hampton. You want to use the 10th as a traveling day and be there early on that Tuesday morning as the session would start. Hopefully, you'll be able to take all the messengers that you're allowed to have, plus some visitors to go. Great to have folks to know and some things that's taking place in Virginia Baptist life. These are exciting days. You're in a lot of places today. You really are. You're in other states, and you're literally around the world. You know, we've just recently started a church plant, a brand new deal in Seoul, Korea. That's a neat deal, isn't it? And so you're doing a lot of things today. And thank you for your involvement in those things. And this morning was almost as if I had an associational meeting I was to go to one day, and I was actually running early. I had plenty of time this morning because I knew that I was going to have a little extra time, so I made a couple of other things that I needed to do. I did that one time for an associational meeting over in the Blue Ridge. And I got to this church, and there wasn't a car there, and I thought, well, I knew I was early. And I kept waiting, and as I kept watching the time, I thought, well, there'll be some people coming by now. There still was no one. This lady had been walking around in the community there, and she'd come by the church there a time or two. So I stopped her, and I said, I actually was thinking that maybe that there was going to be an associational meeting here today. Oh, she said that that's over at another church. She said, I actually am a part of the association. I said, but that's this church. Oh, she said, it's the same name, but this is the Methodist church. The Baptist church was 45 minutes away. You're right. I was actually more than 45 minutes late. Because of the time I had waited and made the trip. Time's important, isn't it? Important times in the life of the church. Exodus chapter 17, it's an important time for the children of Israel. Such a time. You know, we look at that and we think of it. You know, who was it come up with that song that time a few years ago? How many old-timers do we have here today that remembers, help, I need somebody? Anybody remember that song? Confess our sins today. Who was it came out with that thing? Oh, yes, I remember that group. Help, I need somebody. Well, that is exactly what it's taking place. So many times in our life we need help, don't we? growing up on the farm, and it was always good if you had a field of hay down or something. It was always good to see a neighbor coming if they was given a rain coming soon. Always good to have some help. I was helping a neighbor actually yesterday do some things. And it's just good to have some help. Well, here we find the children of Israel, beginning in verse 8. The Amalekites came, and they attacked the Israelites at Ephraim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Joshua, he fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Ur, they went up on top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Moses' hands grew tired. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Ur, they held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. Father, thank you for the day. Hide us behind the cross. May you be seen and may you be heard. And Father, may we be obedient unto you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When we see this story unfolding, and it's really like a two-part thing, because we see almost exactly the same thing happening in a different way soon after this. But we see also with this very particular story the need for help. The need for someone, if you and I are able to have victory, and I think we all want to have victory. I never did see a ball team or a group go out and say, well, I hope to lose today. It's the attitude of winning. It's the attitude of winning the prize. It's the athletes that want to run the fastest, and we want to be able to get to the goal line. Well, I think churches, we too, are in a battle. There is this that takes place in the life of the church, that we are in a hope. Because you see, what we're about, though, is winning souls for Christ. That this church, as every other church, would be a soul-winning station for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, when folks would be able to see this church. But it's really not the building, though, is it? What's the church today? It's the people, isn't it? It's not the building. This is a place where we come to worship. But the church is really you and me as we go out into the world. We're the church. And here we find that within that he said, I want you to know today now, Moses says to Joshua, I want you to go out tomorrow, and this is what I want you to do. Take some of our men, and I want you to go out because these people have come against us. Well, when we recognize that there is the enemy and there's something that's against us, it helps us to be able to formulate a plan to do something about it. And that's important in the life of the church. What would we do? How could we have some plan? Because if we don't have a plan, most of the time what we have is reaction. Reactions, most of the time, are wrong. But if we have a plan in place, we can act upon the plan, and the plan is much more successful than just the reaction to something. And so it is that he said, I've got a plan. Moses says unto Joshua, here's the plan. I want you to take some of our men and I want you to go out. And he said, here's my part. It's always good that everybody has a part, isn't it? Everyone has a responsibility. There's those that's going to be out actually on the battlefield. But we're going to support those on the battlefield. You're going to be going out doing some things. But I want you to know you have our support. We're going to support you in that. Now here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going out and I'm going to be up on the hill. I'm going to be watching over what's taking place. I'm going to keep an eye on the battle. I want you to know that. And I want you to know that I'm acknowledging who is in charge of winning in this very situation. I know you're there. And I know that you are approaching and you are having contact with the enemy. But I want you to know that you have my attention. I want you to know that. Did you know today that heaven itself is watching this church? Really, heaven is watching each and every one of us, isn't it? Each one. His eye is on the sparrow. That's important. But he watches even if a sparrow, just the sparrow, if it falls, he notes it. You know, the Lord himself, he's in the bottling business. He bottles up your tears. When you have a broken heart and you cry, when you lament over things, he's in the bottling business. He bottles them up. They're precious unto him. If he watches the sparrow, if he notes it when you have a broken heart, if he watches that close, his eye truly is upon you. Truly he knows. Truly he sees. If he sees those things that many times we don't even notice, we don't even take note of that. But he does. He does. He knows every pain that you have. Every pain, every heartache, every concern. He said, I'm watching that. Moses says, now, Joshua, when you go out and you're facing the enemy, when you go out, I just want you to know, I'm watching. I'm lifting up my hands. And as the day wore on, he got tired. Now, church, you're in a battle. You're in this of trying to discern and looking for a pastor, a leader. And you know, when it gets along down the way for a while, you may get tired. And you may say to the search committee, when are you folks going to be doing something? We ought to have someone by now. We're a great church. You should have already have had someone. When are we going to do this or that? And we may become tired and because, you know, the truth of the matter, there'll be other responsibilities and things that each of us will need to pick up and be doing that maybe someone else had been doing, and there'll be more for us to do on the battlefield, so to speak. And we may get tired. What do we do when we get tired? What do we do when we feel like it? Moses was there and said, boys, I'm wore out. But he said, every time I let my hands down, we suffer. What happens in the life of the church when we decide just to sort of sit down on the job for a little bit? Oh, that feels so good. We take a nap. We normally do that on Sunday morning. Some of you are already asleep. You didn't even catch it. One Sunday morning, I was demonstrating shaking hands. And I went down to this, and Jim's awake this morning. And I went down and was demonstrating shaking hands. I didn't realize till I got to him, he wasn't napping. He was out cold. He had left town. And you know what? Just as an example, you know what his sweet wife did when I went over to him and put my hand out and he didn't move? She elbowed him. That poor man, he cleared the seat. He didn't know, there I stood with my hand out. He didn't know to pray or give an offering. Yeah. He was out. Last week I talked to him. I hadn't forgot the story. But I talked to him last week. He said, you remember me? And I had to admit, well, not really. He said, I'm the fellow you stuck a hand out to and scared me to death. I said, I remember you. Yeah. But you see, we can do that, can't we? And have our eyes wide open. We can do that and be alert and all those things because we get tired. And sometimes in the life of the church, we say, well, let someone else do it. It's their turn this time. Moses said, I wish I just had someone that could hold their hands up unto the Lord. I'm just tired. I've been here all day. I've been here a long time. And I tell you what, I just don't think I can go any farther. Aaron and her, they said, over here's a big rock. Hey, let's roll this rock over here to where he can still be over here on the hill next to where he can see the battle. And let's let him sit down and rest his weary legs. He's been standing all day. Well, yes, but what about it's his arms that's up. It's his arms that's growing weary. Every time he lets them down, well, we're losing. The Amalekites, they run clean over top of us whenever he lets it down. Have you noticed that? Whenever he holds his hand up, we're progressing and we're winning. We're doing good. But if he doesn't do that, he said, you know what? We're just in a bad way. Tell you what, do. Why don't you get over on one side of him, and I'll get on the other, and we'll just hold him up. Wow. We'll just hold him up. We'll support him. We'll support. You support, I'll support. And that's exactly what they did. They just held him up. Oh, my church, whenever we get a little bit weary and we get a little tired, what would it mean to the life of the church if somebody just come along and say, let me give you a helping hand. Let me help you with that. I can help you with that. I believe I can do that. If you'll just get over on one side, I'll get on the other and we'll prop him up. Did you ever prop up something? Lord, I've propped up fence posts and everything else. Prop it up. Give it a little support. Prop it. Put something there to help hold it. And that's exactly what they did. Because it was help that was needed. Help that needed to come along the way and say, this is a better deal. We find the very same thing that's taking place immediately following this. But you know what they had? The neat thing about this, you know, they had victory. They had victory. Let me tell you, church, we have victory today when we will join together, support one another in things, and do it in a wonderful way. We find just soon after this, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes along and he observes him as he sits all day and gives advice to the people and all those things. He said, "But man, what you're doing isn't good. You need some help. You need someone that can help you train some people, show some people, teach some people to do some things to support and to help you." Now, many times we might say in the life of the church, well, I'm not sure if I know what to do. Ask someone, what could I do to help you? What could I do to help you today? Now, they may pass out, but if you get them back up and prop them up a little bit and give a little water in their face, well, they may say, hey, okay, I'm here. Did you say you wanted to help me? Yeah, isn't that great? You see, by doing that, we learn. Now, my home church, many times, I can remember we were without a pastor. In later years, I became a deacon in that church. And one of the things I discovered, I actually did more when we were without a pastor than when we had a pastor. It wasn't that I didn't like the pastors that came, but I was required to do more in a sense, but I would visit the hospital and I would visit folks in the community and I did normal things along the way. I didn't quit church just because we had a pastor, but I didn't do as much. I look back at that and I think, I could have done better. I really could have. But you see, this is a learning time in the life of the church for each of you. Because it was during those times that I discovered and was, in a sense, forced to do some things. Because when we had a pastor, that I didn't do it because that's what we was paying him for. That's the attitude, isn't it? That's what we got him for. He can visit all the folks in the hospital. But you see, it's our responsibility to step up and do some things. And I wondered how much better it would have been. Now, I did go to a WMU meeting with him one time. Didn't mean to. He cheated. Preachers will cheat. Did you know that? He didn't tell me it was a WMU meeting. He asked me on Sunday. He said, "Brother Darrell, would you go with me to Gate City tomorrow? They have a meeting there. I'd like for you to go with me." And I said, "Well, I can go." And we got there, and this dear lady, she was there, and she said, "I'm just so glad to see the men here today." They was both of us. Two. The pastor and I. That's the only guys there. It was a WMU meeting. But you know what? It was a very good meeting. I would have been the loser if I hadn't gone. But you see, there's a time in the life of the church now that you can grow and do some things and understand some things about the church and visit some folks, and you're going to love it. When you go out and visit folks, or if you go by the hospital or nursing homes or whatever, when you do those things, you're going to be the one that benefits greatly from it. And young people need to be involved in doing those things too, because it will help you even along the way. You'll discover some things. That it's great to serve the Lord. It really is. It's not a bad thing. It's a joyful thing. I know people have talked about, what they give up in serving the Lord. An old preacher said one time, he was talking about what he gave up, and sometimes we'll even talk about surrendering to the ministry. He said, "I didn't give up anything." He said, "I traded a pocket full of dirt for a pocket full of diamonds." Good trade. Good trade. It's a good trade here because you see it is in this. Out of that comes great victory. Out of this comes great growth. Out of this comes great training in each of these situations, because it's that of seeing and finding and looking for ways to be able to help. What can I do in the life of the church to be a help in the church and to be a help in the community and to help one another as we support one another as we walk along? What is it that you can do? What are you willing to do? What would it be in the life of the church if you were just to say, "I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to. I'm willing." What would it be if you just put your name on a piece of paper and laid it on the altar and said, "I'm willing to. I will. This is what I'll do. This is what I can do. This is what I'll attempt to do. This is my goal." What's your dream? What's your dream today? What would you like Withful Baptist Church to be in 5 years? What about 10? What would you like for it to be next year? What would you like for the offerings to be? How many people would you like to see? Would you like to see anyone? I see 4 seats here that doesn't have a 5, doesn't have a soul in them. Would you like to see anyone in those seats? What's your dream? You see, a dream and a passion, they should go hand in hand. What's your passion? What's that? You see, Moses had a passion. He wanted to see victory. He was willing to sacrifice, even when he was tired and wanted to give up. He wanted to see victory. He had a passion about that. He wanted to see that. I have a passion about souls. I want to see souls saved. I like to talk to people in restaurants. I like to talk to them at service stations. I don't care where they are. I like to talk to them at Walmart. Doesn't make any difference. It's wherever people are. That's the place you can share Christ. It's your own personal testimony. What Jesus did for me. What Jesus did for you. People want to hear your story. They really do. What is it we can do? What's your dream? What is your passion for the church? Someone said to a fellow one time, and it was really about their giving and things, and they said, "Let's set us a goal." And so they talked about setting a goal for what they'd like for it to be. And somebody said, "Well, we could do that easy." He said, "Well, let's double it." He said, "Well, that'd be a little more challenging." He said, "Well, let's bring it up more than that." He said, "Well, if we did that," he said, "that'd be a miracle." He said, "That's what it needs to be. It's the miracle size. You say, Brother Darrell, if we had all these seats filled, that'd be a miracle. That really should be the passion. That really should be the goal. Fill them all. Fill them all. Every seat filled. You see, therefore, God would get the glory. Do you know He's in the miracle business? That's what He deals with. It really is. Oh, if we can do it, well, we'll pat ourselves on the back. We sure did do good. But boy, when He does it in such a way that we know that we had nothing to do with it and He did it all, isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus paid it all? All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. I could do nothing in saving myself except put myself in His hands in repentance of my sin. That's all I could do. I could do nothing more. I had no righteousness to put before Him. I had no works that would justify my ability to go to heaven. The only thing I had was to plead the blood of Jesus. That's all. And the Heavenly Father said, that's enough, because I gave my Son for you. If you'll accept Him, He's yours. That's the way. That's how you have it. There's no other way. When you set something or have something in such way, you know, God is a jealous God. He is looking for those things that will happen, that we will recognize and know that He's in charge. He's in charge. Today, what would it be? What could you say, this is what I'll do? First of all, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. Now's the appointed time. There's never been a day and a time the Bible never speaks about somehow put it off till tomorrow. Well, you and I don't have the assurance of tomorrow or even this afternoon. I have the assurance of this moment and this moment only. He holds the rest in His hand. All of it. Today. Today, would it be something that you would say, this is what I can do. This is my passion. This is what I'd like to see. I'm going to claim one of these seats. I will claim just a spot on a seat. I'm going to claim something that's mine, that I'm going to work to make sure that it'll cover. I'm going to claim some folks today. I'm going to put their name on the altar. I'm going to claim some folks today that I know that at the best of my knowledge they've never accepted Christ, and I'm going to claim them today. I'm going to claim them, and I'm going to put myself before the Lord every day. I'm going to hold my hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm claiming them today. I want to see them saved. You might say, well, I don't know now. Brother Darrell, that's going to cost me some time. You're exactly right. It will. I didn't say it was free. What we have wasn't free. It cost Jesus everything. It cost Him everything. But He said, you know what? He said, I think you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. He didn't make any junk. He really didn't. He didn't. He made you, and you're precious unto Him. And He wants to use you today. If you've never accepted Christ, we'll be glad to talk with you. We're going to have a hymn of invitation in just a moment. Number 300 will be our hymn of invitation. Without Him, we have nothing. With Him, you have it all. Perhaps you'd come today and say, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm claiming this. I'm claiming it. It'd be good. There's probably a piece of paper in the back of the pew or something. Or you may... maybe an offering envelope or something there that you could just write down on your bulletin and you'd say, this is what I'm claiming today. And just leave it here on the altar. You can do that today. Whatever you feel like. I don't know what God has spoken to you about today. Maybe someone He's spoken about for full-time Christian service. We had a man in Gate City that went to Tanzania a few years ago. His daughter ended up being a missionary in South Africa. I emailed her one day and I said, outside of your salvation experience, What is the most significant thing that's ever happened in your life that caused you to be a missionary in South Africa? And this young lady responded back to me immediately. She said it was when Dad went to Tanzania and came back with the pictures and the stories of Africa. I made a commitment then I was going to be a missionary in Africa. Stacy Barker was in the second grade. Kid. Just a kid. She made a commitment. As a second grader, I'm going to serve God with my life. What's your commitment today? What's your passion? What is your dream? Father, lead us and guide us during this invitation time. May we respond unto you the way you would have for us to. We just want to be obedient to you. That's all. We just want to be obedient to you, and whatever you've asked us to do, we want to do it quickly. We want to serve you. We have a passion to win folks. We have a passion about things. Father, I pray today that unashamedly we would come today. Maybe it's someone here that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, and they'd come today and say, I want Christ in my heart. I want to know I have a home in heaven, but I want that joy that will flood my soul when I make things right with Him. Maybe there's other decisions that need to be made. Father, you use this time for your honor and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.